Llevados a cabo contra Cuba, tenemos los siguientes. Año 1976, una bomba es colocada en la embajada cubana de Portugal, ocasionando la muerte de dos compañeros. 6 de octubre, es destruido en pleno vuelo un avión de Cubana de aviación con 73 personas a bordo. Detrás de estos hechos está la CIA. Y casi sin excepción, las organizaciones terroristas que radican en Estados Unidos y actúan impunemente en territorio de ese país.
Sigo Cubana, sí. We had an explosion and we are descending immediately. We had fire on board. Okay, Sigo Cubana 455. We are requesting immediately landing.
Cuba has been hit by numerous attacks over the course of history. In 1976, 2 bombs were detonated in a Cuban aircraft en route from Venezuela. The accident was considered as the most appalling terrorist attack in Latin America for years. Freddy Lugo, Hernan Lozano, Orlando Bosch, and Luis Posada Carriles stood trial for this attack. According to the confessions made by one of the ex-agents of the CIA, for decades, Cuba has been hit by waves of terror and panic. In the 1990s, Cuban tourist sites were the targets of frequent terrorist attacks. Back then, tourism was considered a major source of income for the island. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, one of Cuba's biggest trading partners, terrorists targeted the tourist sides of the country to create an atmosphere of mistrust and insecurity. The attacks also aimed to annul the contracts signed by Fidel Castro to boost the country's tourism industry at the time of the economic downturn in early 1990s. It was in the 1990s that a group of 5 Cuban people was dispatched to the United States to infiltrate the radical groups in Miami linked to the recent terrorist attacks.
In the past 30 years, Havana has been repeatedly hit by terrorist attacks. That's why we have come here to the city center to ask Cuban people about their living situation.
What do you remember about the attacks in the past 20 to 30 years ago?
El ataque a los hoteles de Cuba, la explosión de bomba, la explosión del barco La Cubre, que venía con armas de otros países para defender la patria, los ataques terroristas no solamente militares, sino contra los cultivos cubanos, contra la salud cubana.
Mire, cuando le metieron la bomba en los hoteles, que mataron un italiano.
Porque eso es lo que estaban tratando ellos de evitar, que fue que hicieran atentados, más atentados aquí en nuestro país.
Para que no hicieran terrorismo en Cuba, ni nada de eso. Ni que no pusieran bombas en los edificios, ni nada.
Que van a Estados Unidos a tratar de evitar ataques terroristas como los que hubieron en los hoteles, como en la bodeguita del medio, que fueron gente como pagada por Luis Posada Carriles, por Orlando Bosch, que le pagaban a diferentes personas, por ejemplo, salvadoreño, que hubo el caso, que fue uno de los que puso los explosivos, para ataques terroristas aquí en Cuba.
Cuba has long experienced peace and tranquility. The happy people of the country have provided unforgettable experiences for tourists who could freely travel to various parts of the country. The terrorists aim to target the tourist sites of Cuba.
This is Bodeguada del Medio restaurant, a symbolic restaurant in the center of the city that was attacked in September 1997. Let's go inside and see what had happened. He is Nicolas, one of the restaurant staff members who was here at the time of the explosion.
We were on this floor when the terrorist attack of September 1997 took place. Let's go to the hall. Here there was a fridge in which the bomb was planted. It was a handmade bomb that apparently was placed during the day when many people gather in the restaurant. But it detonated at night. Fortunately, the bomb wasn't blown up in the morning when many people were here. Otherwise, we would face a tragedy. The bomb was placed on the next floor, and you could imagine the amount of debris that fell on this floor. It could destroy the building completely. It was a huge explosion. We were changing the shifts when the accident happened.
Were you hurt then? Or was there any permanent physical damage?
No, I wasn't hurt, but I lost my hearing for a while. The handmade bomb was planted by an experienced person. He was arrested while he was leaving the restaurant. He didn't say a word. He didn't say that he placed a bomb that could kill so many people. The main aim was to stop tourists from traveling to Cuba. All these terrorist activities took place in the country's tourist sites, such as Copacabana and Chateau Hotel. Why did the terrorists launch these attacks? To discourage tourists from coming to Cuba. They wanted to create an atmosphere of terror and present Cuba as an insecure island. But we showed that this is a completely wrong idea and Cuba is still one of the safest parts of the world.
The last bomb went off in Bodeguita del Medio restaurant at about 11 p.m. But the Cuban people remained as hospitable as ever, as if nothing had happened. It was in the afternoon of September 4, 1997, that Raul Ernesto Cruz, an El Salvador citizen, planted bombs in Chateau, Triton, and Copacabana hotels. In the last case, a 32-year-old manager of an Italian company lost his life. All the hotels are located in Miramar region. We have come here to hear eyewitness accounts of the attack. The current manager of the hotel explains to us what exactly happened.
At that time, I was in charge of the hotel installations. I had gone to fix a problem in the lobby. I felt the explosion when I was going toward my workplace. First, I couldn't think of a bomb blast, but later I realized what had happened and ran toward the lobby. It was full of smoke. The bomb was placed here in the wine stand. He was decorating a palm tree. He had made the bomb in this bathroom. With a watchful eye on the barman, he had come here, sat down and placed the bomb. He then went to El Chateau Hotel and planted a bomb there. Later, he did the same thing in Neptuno Triton Hotel.
Fabio De Selmo, a young Italian, lost his life in the blast in the lobby.
It was closed. Here, there was the entrance. Di Chelmo came inside from here and stood in this part of the hall. The bomb was planted here behind the wine stand. After the blast, Di Chelmo's body was found here.
The Copacabana Hotel keeps alive the memory of Fabio de Chalmo for good.
We have placed this sign in commemoration of our friend de Chalmo.
Giustino de Chalmo, Fabio's father, lives in this area. He is a World War II veteran. He has taken many trips to Cuba and created commercial opportunities for this island. Giustino recalls his memories.
Last year, before the bomb attacks on the hotels, I was in Mejila. We had a meeting with Fabio and some customers. Two bombs were planted, one in the bathroom and one on the 5th or 15th floor. I can't remember exactly. It was then I told Fabio, please be careful. I'm sure that they have started to plant bombs in all hotels.
Giustino was in his room in Copacabana Hotel when sadly his prediction came true and his son lost his life.
30 minutes after he left, I heard a huge sound. I never thought of a bomb explosion. Rather, I had the idea of a blast in the kitchen. Fabio had been killed when I was informed. He died 1 minute after the explosion when a piece of glass ripped through his artery.
Many attacks were launched, particularly in 1997. While security forces were investigating the cases, a group of five Cuban citizens was trying to put an end to all these fears by searching for those who were behind the attacks. In 1998, five Cuban citizens were arrested by the FBI and went on trial. Gerardo Hernandez and Ramon Labanino were sentenced to 2 life imprisonment terms and 30 years imprisonment, respectively. Meanwhile, Antonio Guerrero was sentenced to 21 years and 10 months. Fernando Gonzalez will be released in February 2014 after spending 18 years in jail. Rene Gonzalez, who was released in October 2011, has to pass 3 years probation in Miami. 5 Cuban citizens who stood a 6-month trial in Florida were found guilty. They were arrested in 1998 and stood the longest trial in the history of the U.S. criminal court.
On September 12, 1998, the members of Group 5 were simultaneously arrested at about 5 a.m. They came to our house to arrest René. We were asleep in our room. Yvette was in her cradle, and the little Irma was in her room. Suddenly, I heard someone knocking the door loudly. I woke René up and said, "René, they are knocking the door so loudly as if they are trying to take the door out of its place." When the door was opened, I heard the sound of footsteps as well as loud voices from the room. When I came out, I saw René was on the floor while his head was out of the apartment. They were putting handcuffs on him from behind. When they saw me, they took my arms and pushed me to the wall. They asked me to raise my hands. Then they told me to sit down on a chair in front of a table. I asked René, "What's happening here?" And he told me, "I don't know. They just asked me whether I am René Gonzalez or not, and whether I am connected to the 4 other people."
I wasn't informed at all. Fernando told me that he was an economist and also majored in law and international commercial relations. He told me that he was working with a Spanish investor who was residing in Spain. I never became suspicious of him. People often ask me whether I hadn't felt betrayed when I knew what he was doing. My answer is no, because it was a sensitive issue that could put his life as well as the lives of other people at risk. They were brought from home to a prison. Those who sparked unrest in the prison were kept on the 12th floor. But the members of Group 5 had no chance to provoke riots as they were directly sent from home to the prison. Although they are not allowed to keep prisoners on the 12th floor for more than 60 days, the Group 5 members were kept there for 17 months.
These five people were accused of espionage and committing crimes against the U.S. It was proved that they didn't commit a serious crime, rather they provoked fear in the society. This is the simplest definition of the crime. They were also accused of not registering their names in the Immigration Department as foreign employees. Yet the Group 5 members neither acted as the agents of a foreign country nor worked in any organization affiliated to the U.S.
The U.S. adopts dual policy on Cuba. For instance, the U.S. considered the toughest punishments for five Cuban citizens who tried to defend their country against the radical right wing of Miami. Such harsh sentences were unheard of in the history of criminal courts in the U.S. for many years. These people were not spies, rather they aimed to investigate the case and find out acts of the extremist right wing. Acts such as exploding aircrafts, planting bombs, and similar crimes like those committed by Posada Carriles. He freely does whatever he likes and he has been acquitted by the court. Compare this case with the light sentences of the Israeli spies who were arrested in the U.S. To put it another way, they were sent home with the Medal of Honor.
The relatives of Cuban Group 5 are supported by the whole people of Havana. They come here to participate in various events. Here is Palacio de las Convenciones, where the relatives of Group 5 took part in the closing ceremony of the 6th International Summit of Human Rights and Social Justice. Now we listen to the speech made by the Cuban Parliament Speaker, Ricardo Alarcón.
En agosto del año 2005, se produjo un hecho que enaltecía a la justicia norteamericana cuando unánimemente el panel de jueces de la Corte de Apelaciones de Atlanta, a quien se le encargó revisar este caso, lo declaró nulo, ordenó la libertad de los compañeros, declaró inválidas sus sentencias. En aquel texto, los magistrados de Atlanta, ellos afirmaron que allí el llamado juicio de Miami había sido en realidad una tormenta perfecta de prejuicios y hostilidad. Exactamente un año después, en agosto del 2006, el Pleno del Tribunal de Apelaciones de Atlanta revirtió esa decisión, la declaró nula y ordenó que algunos casos fueran revisados por errores técnicos que tenía. Eso fue resultado.
When René González was freed in October 2011, his daughters were the only people allowed to wait for him, because his wife, Olga, who was deported from the U.S. after his arrest, was never granted a visa to come back to the country.
René was freed on October 7 after passing his imprisonment. Now he was on the street and had to start his probation term. The court didn't let him return to Cuba. Moreover, as per a clause in his verdict, he is not allowed to show up in the places that he frequently had gone to and meet with those who are linked to organized crime. In other words, René is always in danger. If these people become aware of his whereabouts, they may assassinate him.
Esas personas, si se pueden mover, si descubren dónde está René, pueden hacerle un atentado.
We managed to speak to Ailey, the daughter of Ramon Lebonino, who will be in prison until November 2024.
How did you react when you became aware of the issue?
I was a teenager at the time. It was shocking. Actually, it was very hard for me to see the pictures of my father posted on walls when I was walking on the streets. It was painful to hear the remarks made in forums about my father. I was asking myself, how this happened? Is my father a known figure? It was appalling that he was imprisoned.
Ailey managed to meet Roman after the cumbersome procedure of being granted a visa.
I've gone there once a year since 2003. As we are Cuban, we need to apply for the U.S. visa. We have to go through a long and complicated procedure. First, we need to go to the U.S. interest section in Havana and apply for the visa. Moreover, the visa is valid for a short time and expires after one entry to the U.S. Since the time of the issue, we just have 30 days to enter the U.S. Upon return to Cuba, I immediately apply for the visa to see my father again.